Catch your breath there. So boys and girls, while you're still up, would you have a wee look around? You may have noticed that there are some little plastic eggs like this around the place. So boys and girls, there should be one each around the church. So if you get up off your seats, just take one. If you find more than one, give it to someone else and have a wee look around. Keep your eyes peeled. And if you find one, then go back to your seat, but don't open it, please. And some of the adults may give you a wee pointer as to where they are. So when you have one, then back to your seat, please, and don't open it. And there are still plenty. I can see some over here. Fantastic. That is brilliant. Good stuff. I think everybody has one. And if you haven't, there's still a few over here, at this side here. Brilliant. Now, the thing is, do you feel it's a wee bit light? A wee bit light, this egg? Well, you ready for the big opening? You ready to open it? See what's inside? Ready? 3, 2, 1, open it!
It's empty!
It's empty! Oh, it's empty. Well, that is what Mary Magdalene and her friends found in going to the tomb and found that Jesus' body they're looking for wasn't actually there, that as far as they were concerned, the tomb was empty. There were some grave clothes of Jesus, but apart from that, his body wasn't there. The tomb was empty. They'd seen Jesus die on a cross a few days before on Good Friday. They had seen him buried in the tomb. They had come to anoint his dead body with oils for burial. They'd have a rest on the Sabbath because they weren't allowed to come to the tomb that day. They got up early in the morning. They went to the tomb and it was empty. And that must have been a real shock to them, a real surprise, because they had expected that somehow the stone would be rolled away from the tomb and they would have been able to anoint the body of Jesus for burial. But the body wasn't there. And that must have been a real, real shock to them, and they must have wondered that what to do. But what had happened was a number of days before, on Good Friday, they'd seen Jesus die on a cross. And they were really trying to work out what is going on. But things began to make sense because they soon met two angels who told them that Jesus was dead, but now he was alive. He was risen from the dead. And then they met him. They met Jesus, and they realized that he who was dead was alive. And one of the wonderful things, if anyone's ever done the Alpha course here, you'll know that I think it's week 2. It's all about who is Jesus. And the wonderful thing is that there's a quote by Professor Thomas Arnold, former chair of modern history at Oxford University. And he says that in the history of all the documented human history, the fact, the event that has more evidence written down about it and more witnesses to it than any other event in history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no event attested to more substantially in history than Jesus Christ. We have more evidence about the resurrection of Jesus Christ than we do about Julius Caesar. There is so much evidence to Jesus of Nazareth living, and also in the Bible and outside the Bible. People like Josephus and Herodotus, historians of that time, saying that there was a man called Jesus who had many followers and he rose from the dead. That's written by an historian who didn't even follow Jesus Christ, and he said that he believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So it's a wonderful thing that the disciples then start to make sense of what happened, but quite often it's only really on Easter Day that things start to make sense as to what happened on Good Friday. Last Sunday, a member of our church, quite a diminutive member of our church, said, "Why is Good Friday called good when that's the day that Jesus died?" And on Good Friday, the disciples couldn't understand how on earth this in time might come to be called good. But on Easter, the journey began to be able to understand, because what happened on Good Friday was Jesus conquered sin and hell and death. Jesus was enthroned as king. The symbol of Christianity is not a golden throne. It's not an empty tomb. It's a cross. And the reason for that is because the cross is the place of victory. Listen to these words from Bishop Leslie Newbegin. He says this: "The resurrection is the revelation to chosen witnesses of the fact that Jesus died on the cross and is indeed King, conqueror of death and sin, Lord and Savior of all. The resurrection is not the reversal of a defeat, but the proclamation of a victory. The King reigns from the tree. The reign of God has indeed come upon us, and its sign is not a golden throne, but a wooden cross." For us as Christians, the cross is the place of victory, and that's why it's the symbol of Christianity. Because Jesus became king and was enthroned on the cross. And John's gospel particularly tells the story of how Jesus, with a crown of thorns on his head, Jesus Christ, Jesus the King of the Jews, written in three languages, even in Greek, the international language of the time, he was enthroned in the place of honor on the cross. And yet, in the mysterious way that God works, it was also the lowest point in human history, because it was the place where we as human beings crucified an innocent man whose heart was filled with love. God works in mysterious ways. But what the disciples discovered, what Mary Magdalene and her friends discovered, and it's amazing that God chose Mary Magdalene, a woman who had lived for many years a deeply distressed life, who had 7 demons cast out of her, was the first witness to the resurrection. And so we as followers of Jesus, we can have confidence that all of us, any of us, can be witnesses to Jesus Christ's resurrection. Often in our lives, we can feel a bit like this egg. We can feel somewhat empty. Whenever things are going really well, and sometimes we're just busy with all the good things that are happening, and we've got family and friends and school and college and hobbies and health and food and ice cream and chocolate Easter eggs, sometimes we don't really realize in the busyness of life that there is a God-shaped hole in our lives. But whenever difficulties come, whether it's sadness or sickness or disappointment, in those times and in those places, in those times of crises, it's sometimes then we realize that without God, life actually has no meaning. It's empty. But Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, has washed us clean of our sin, and invites us into rich and full and satisfying life. And the only way to experience that in this world is through Jesus Christ. To come to him and say, "God, I need help. I feel empty." Even if we feel very far from God and very dry and very empty, he always responds. Whether it's for the first time or whether we've been a Christian for a long time, and all of us, even as Christians, have times when we just want to cry out to God for help, when we long for the sense of his presence. No matter how many times, no matter how empty we feel, he always steps in and fills us afresh with his Holy Spirit. And to symbolize that this morning, boys and girls, I'd love to put something in your empty egg box. So come on up, and I have a wee chocolate egg for you. So please put this, take one, and put it in your chocolate egg. You're very welcome. Thanks for saying thank you. And then close it up.
Thank you so
inside,
much.
You're very, very welcome. So Jesus Christ fills up our emptiness. You're very, very welcome. And you're doing a fantastic job today as well. Thank you for helping to lead all of our worship and our prayers and our poems and our puppets. Yes, absolutely. Yes, if you're coming up for a baby or someone who might not come up, then please take one for them as well. But if someone over 18 says, "Get me an egg," then don't listen to a word they're saying. There you go, look. Well done, that man. That young man knows what he's doing. He takes his muffin and thinks, "I can only get this chocolate egg if I dispose of this muffin." That a man after my own heart. So you may be here today and you feel as if you're far from God, or you feel you're empty, or perhaps you've been a Christian for many years and you feel you need to meet with God afresh. I want to encourage you, ask the Lord this morning to do the equivalent of filling up your emptiness, because Jesus Christ cleans us and then he invites us to be filled with his love, his presence, because life comes by being filled with the love of God. God has poured out his love into our hearts, and there is nothing that compares with having our emptiness filled with the presence of God. And this is a gift which it just keeps on giving, because as they discovered on Easter Day, the new life of Christ means life beyond death. Because not only was our sin and brokenness fixed and forgiven, but also death was overcome and conquered. That's why we shout hallelujah today, because we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't just move from Good Friday to Pentecost and the disciples meeting Jesus by his Spirit and being filled with his love. That is wonderful. We also believe that Jesus Christ's body was raised from death, that he's in heaven today with nail marks in his hands and his feet and a spear mark in his side. And his resurrection means that those who believe in Jesus Christ will pass through the waters of death and will come up the other side. And that's what baptism is all about. So today, if you've never given your life to the Lord, as you come for communion today, put out your empty hands and ask God to fill you with his forgiveness and his love. And then just continue as part of the church to grow in that relationship. And you will discover rich and satisfying life beyond your imagination. Life that leads to everlasting life, because in Jesus Christ, we have conquered death. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father,